What desire your prayers this morning?
Bless the Lord.
You're going to tell it to the young and the old. Well, that's what the Lord's told me to do. And I'm going to endeavor to do that. With what little time He's given you left. But that I have left. And appreciate all the Lord has done. And I want to tell you, coming back from Russia and Austria and meeting the German saints, let me say just one thing about them. They do not want a watered down prayer. They want you to preach it. They want you to preach it straight. They want you to preach it hard. They want it all. And I appreciate that very much. I was at a family gathering before I left for this trip, and my niece came to me and she said, "Uncle Brian, I want to share something with you." Mm-hmm. I said, "Okay." So she went and got her phone and she did something, and a message come up, and she read it to me. She said, "It said, God is love, God is mercy, but religion is nothing. So just live a good life, and that's all that's required."
Praise the Lord.
Well, Uncle Brian, what do you think of that? She had a smile on her face. She was quite, she thought that was something. I said, "That's a lie." She said, "A lie." I said, "Yeah, it's a lie." I said, "Now, God's love and He's mercy. When I got that religious part, I wanted to try to defend it, but I couldn't. I've seen too much of religion to know that some of it just doesn't amount to too much." But I said, that last part where you just live a good life and that'll get you in, that's a lie. The Bible says you must be born again. You've got to repent of your sins. Tell God you're sorry for the transgressions and ask Him to come into your heart. And I said, after that's done, then you go and you get yourself baptized. I said, that's what the Word of God says.
Bless the Lord.
Well, she closed that up and she got up. She didn't want to hear no more. She walked away. Well, she went right to her aunt, and I'm grieved. I'm thinking, Lord, how did this young, she's only 16, 17 years old, how did she get to where she thought that there was no requirement? Just live good, and that's good enough. Well, she went to her aunt and said, "You know what Uncle Brian said?" She said, "Oh, don't you worry about that, honey. You just believe what you want to believe. Just do what you think is right, and that's all you need to do." That's how they believe these things.
Help, Lord.
It grieved my heart, Lord. What can I do? And I'm looking at my sister. That's the mother of the lineage. This girl come down. And she looked at me. And we just had to shake our heads. It's, Lord, how can we get so far off? Then I was called a couple weeks later. And I got a call. And they said, "Your Aunt Stella is on her deathbed. And they don't expect her to make it through the night." So I jumped in a car and I took off. Drove about 7 hours. And I got there with 20 minutes to spare before she took her last breath. But I didn't get to talk to her. I didn't get to pray with her. I didn't even get to look into her eyes. And I was grieved with that because I knew her life. I'd never known her to go to church. Never known her to have any kind of testimony. Her husband was an atheist all his life. And he went out of this world that way. And I was grieved. There wasn't anything I could do. It was too late. But the family were saying how, she's in a better place now. We're all in the room with her and she's laying in the bed and her life is gone. And she's with Jesus now. She's in a better place. And I'm. How can this be? She never had a testimony. She never went to church. I would hope that maybe that somehow she made it, but I have no confidence. But they talked with such confidence and then I began to look at their lives. This is what they've got to believe if they're going to make it. Because they're not willing to make any changes. And so, we'll just believe that she's in a better place. And if we believe it hard enough, it'll be so. Dear ones, it is never going to make it so. It doesn't matter what we think or what people believe. It's what the Word of God says. And I've come to believe that some people say, "Well, I don't have a conviction." If the Word of God says it, whether you have a conviction or not, you're responsible to it. I've come to believe this more lately than I ever believed it before. Now, I love conviction. It's a great thing. But when the Word of God is revealed to us and we see it right here before us, dear ones, we're held accountable to that. I got in my car to head this way. Got down in the southwest states, and I don't know if you've ever traveled there, but you lose outside contact. You Telephones, no towers, you can't call in or out. It's dead. Dead zones there in the southwest. And I was curious about the storm Isaac and what kind of havoc it was causing on the Gulf Coast. You know, I've got brothers and sisters down there in Alabama and Louisiana, concerned about them. And so I turn on the radio and I hit the seek button and it just began to roll and roll and roll. So I'm just going to leave it there till it finally hits up. Well, it finally did. It came up. You know, dear ones, there's a lot of religious stations down there in the southwest. Yeah. Well, anyway, this man came on, and I want to share with you what he had to say. He said, if a man dies before he's got all his sins taken care of, then he goes to a place called purgatory, and he gets a second chance to take care of those sins. I thought, oh my. So I'm waiting to hear some scriptures how he's going to back this up. He didn't have any. He just threw it out there as a truth. Now, this is supposed to be a minister of God. And how many men and women were listening to this radio program? Was there 100? Was there thousands? Was there millions? Was it syndicated? Did it go all across the nation? Maybe all across the world? I just knew that what he just taught was false doctrine. So I got a tablet that I carry next to me to just jot things down as I'm traveling, and I jotted it down. I hit the seek button again. I'd had enough of that. And the next man came along. And he said, the Pope sits in Peter's chair. The Pope of Rome, the Catholic Church, he sits in Peter's chair. And he has the keys to eternal life. Once again, where did this come from? I write it down. And I'm listening for a scripture. Well, he never really gave any, but I know there's one there. When I get to my room tonight, I'm going to look these up. Well, I hit the seek button again. Once again, there's enough of that. I don't need to hear that. And I come to the third man. Now, I knew what the two religions from the first two men were, but from this point on, I didn't know where this man was coming from, but this is what he said. He said that some teach that once you get saved and sanctified, you don't sin anymore. He said, that's hogwash. I said, hogwash? Well, that's the way I've always been taught. When a man gets saved, the sin business has to stop. But here's this man on public radio teaching that you continue to live and continue to sin even though you've been saved and sanctified. Well, that's the truth. What good is salvation? What good is sanctification? But it gives us the power to say no to sin. Well, I wrote that one down. I'm going to come back to these. But I'm hitting that seek button again. Going to the fourth one, the man says, a wife is to obey her husband in all things. And a woman asked him, what happens if it's ungodly? It's not according to the Word of God. It crosses God's law. He said, it doesn't matter. A woman, a wife is to obey her husband in all things. And I'm waiting for some scriptures. He got some. He went all the way back to Abraham. He said, remember when Abraham's wife went in, two men? They obeyed. Sarah obeyed Abraham. Went into those two men and God protected her. That's all a wife has to do is just trust God. Obey her husband no matter what he says to do. Then, oh man, I'm having a hard time with this one. Cross God's law? Directly be what kind of a husband would ask his wife to do such a thing? You see, the Word of God is written for the people of God, first and foremost. And when we read these stories, and we like the letters, he's reading it to the church at Corinth, to the church at Ephesus. It's to the saints. And he greets it to the saints at. And the sinner wants to take this and twist it around and take it to a point where it's just not truth. Now let me come to the fifth and last one. Two men talking back and forth, and they said, every Christian is obligated to vote in the upcoming elections. They must vote. If they don't vote, then they're not good stewards of Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you right now before we go any further, Brother Rich is not teaching not to vote. To vote or not to vote, I'll leave that with you. But what scripture do they have to say that a man must vote if he's a Christian? I'm having trouble with that. Well, I got home with my five little things and I got out my Bible. Let's go back where it says a man dies and he goes to purgatory. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Lord, help us. You pray for us this morning. Lord, bless me with this. I want to tell you, as I was listening to these men, I begin to get physically upset. What I'm saying is, there was a sickness tried to come over me. When I hear these men spewing out untruth, doctrines that are not according to godliness, not according to the Word of God. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and the 27th verse, it says, "And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The word purgatory isn't here. As a matter of fact, I can't find it anywhere in the Word of God. And that second chance thing, I can't find that either. Today, the world teaches about a millennial reign. Now, I don't have any scriptures for that, but this comes to my mind. That there's a millennial reign that's going to take place, and it's going to give men a second chance to get right with God. Dear ones, it was a lie perpetrated by the devil way back there when the Jews said that Jesus is coming to set up His kingdom right here on earth. Well, they had that right, but they misunderstood. They thought it was to be a worldly, a carnal kingdom where He was going to come and sit on His throne, and then they would take over the world and the Jewish nation would rule the world as they did under King David. Dear ones, it was a lie perpetrated upon them, and they died and went to their grave believing, waiting for the Messiah, and yet He came and set up His kingdom, but they were too blind to see it. That kingdom is still here amongst us today. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no one can remove it but me. Lord, help us. That same lie perpetrated back then, and it's perpetrated on the Christian nations today, saying there's going to be a millennial reign and men are going to have a second chance. Jesus is going to come and sit on the throne and we're going to rule the world. The Christians are going to rule the world. Dear ones, it's a lie. We need to be willing to give our lives for this thing. Willing not to fight back when they try to take us over. I don't know what's coming our way, dear ones, but I know Christianity's under attack. If we don't get this thing settled in our heart and mind, we might come up short. May the Lord help us. All right, 2 Corinthians. The 5th chapter. And the 10th verse. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." We know that after death, there's judgment.
Yes, it is.
And what's going to happen? We're going to be judged by the things that we did in this body, whether they be good or bad. No second chance. No waiting period, dear ones. This is where we come to. Romans, the 14th chapter, and the 10th verse. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." We're going to give an account, aren't we?
Yes.
Everything that we've ever said and everything that we've ever done. Let's go to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10th chapter and the 26th verse. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." If we've been saved, know the glories and the graces of God. And then because we have been seduced somehow and decide to sin willfully, in other words, we know what we're doing is wrong and we choose to do it anyway, sin is imputed unto us. And when it is, there remaineth now no more sacrifice for sin. That old sacrifice that covered our first sins when we asked to be forgiven doesn't cover that second.
Yep, Lord.
Because this is a brand new sin.
Yes.
And in order to have it covered, you must do your first works over. But if you don't, it goes on to tell us what's going to happen. It says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. We know by the Word of God that on that judgment day, some will be thrown to the lake of fire. Dear ones, I want to say the lake of fire was never meant for human consumption.
Right.
It was made for the devil and his angels.
Right.
But hell has to have to enlarge itself. Because men have chosen to follow the way of the devil instead of the way of God. And it says when they choose to follow the way of the devil, he becomes their father. And he begins to teach them. And a good teacher he is. But to escape from that and become the sons of God and God become our father. Praise God. We don't have to have this fearful looking. We don't have to worry about that fiery indignation. That's going to devour the adversary. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. May the Lord help us. That's a fearful place to be, is it not? May the Lord help us. No purgatory, dear ones. No second chance. But a fearful looking for. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter. And I want to read the 24th verse. It says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going for to judgment. And some men's sins follow after. Dear ones, if you get your sins to the cross before death takes over this body, you send those on to heaven and they're erased from the Lamb's book.
Yeah.
Nothing next to your name but thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Enter ye into the joys of the Lord.
Yes.
But if you don't get it taken care of and you count on going to purgatory and getting a second opportunity, and dear ones, you're going to find yourself in trouble. Those sins are going to come to the judgment right behind you. And there it is. And the Lord's going to say, what are all these? The bleeding of the sheep. I told you to take care of this and you didn't. Lord, help us to know the truth. As I was felt that physical illness come over me when I heard these men, just as quickly the Lord spoke to me and put me at ease.
Amen.
You dear ones, He's got this under control.
Yes, He does.
You heard that saying, I got this? The Lord's telling me, I've got this.
Bless the Lord.
You just do what I've called you to do.
Yeah.
You just be what I've called you to be. And I'll take every care of everything else.
Amen.
So I pray, Lord, make me a saint. Lord, make me a saint. Increase my love for You. Increase my love for the Word of God.
Help us, Lord.
Increase my love for my fellow man.
Yes.
I was sick because I was thinking of all those souls that were perishing.
Oh, Lord.
Going to a Christless grave, it hurts. It hurts.
Yes.
But God let me know, I've got this.
Thank the Lord.
I've got this.
Yes.
And I thank God for it.
You
do. You do what I've called you to do. Dear ones, it's given me a determination to go out there and refute the false doctrines of
the
world today. May the Lord help us. The Word of God says to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's good to be free. That sickness left, and I felt free again. Lord, I'm free in You. And it feels good to be free. All alone in that car, traveling across those empty states, looking at those rolling hills. And yet God with me all the way. He said, I never leave you, never forsake you. He's got this, dear ones. He's got it. He's got it all in control. Well, now I want to talk to you back about the Pope sits in Peter's seat. Where did that come from? Let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I think this is where they get it from. Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 18th verse. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, thou art Peter. Okay? And upon this rock. What rock? The Catholics think that they're talking about Peter. The word Peter means stone or rock. But Jesus is talking about Himself. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's read the next verse. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Dear ones, that part is true. They got that right. He did give Peter the keys. But He gave it to all the apostles and all the disciples and all those that will follow in His name. What are the keys? It's the mystery of salvation that was hid from the foundation of the world, but now it's been revealed unto His apostles and His saints. Dear ones, that's the keys. Now, I don't know how to drive a plane or one of those big ocean liners or a train. If you put me in control, we'll surely wreck. But I know about salvation. I've been there. The keys have been given unto me. I got there. And I can lead a brother or a sister. It's simply, let's repent of thy sins. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. It's not hard, dear ones. I prayed with brothers that just said a few words, but I knew God touched their soul. And I prayed with brothers and sisters that have prayed long and beautiful and flowery prayers. And they blessed my soul and they got through too. It's the honesty of the heart.
Bless the Lord.
It's the sincerity.
Yes.
It's the simplicity in Christ Jesus. Dear ones, those are the keys.
Thank the Lord.
And He gave them to Peter, but He gave them to all those that call upon His name that will come after Him. Now, in Matthew, the 21st chapter, in the 42nd verse, and Jesus said unto them, did ye ever read in the Scriptures that the stone, now get this, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Where do you build a church? You build it on a foundation.
Right.
And it says here, the stone which the builders originally rejected, the Jews, they was brought back by those that wanted it. And it was set there at the corner where the building was begin to be built. And that's Jesus, dear one.
Yes.
Amen. And Jesus said, did ye ever read in the Scriptures that the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. You know, today, let's talk about another falsehood. The Christian churches say that all the Jews will be saved. And I read into the Word of God, it says, it's not those that are born of the lineage are Jews, but those that had the circumcision of the heart.
Yes.
And not of the flesh. Those are the sons of God.
Yes.
Those are the sons of Abraham. Dear ones, the Jewish and the Jewish religion has been rejected. And to think that God's going to come again and build the temple again there in Jerusalem and sit on that throne. It's a lie that's been perpetuated by the devil himself. He's never going to set foot on this earth again, dear ones. When they were going and they were walking and He began to go up into the clouds, and the angel said, ye men, why are you gazing up into heaven? Don't you know that this same Jesus will return in like manner? Just as He goes into the clouds, He's going to come back into the clouds. But He's coming in a judge. Huh? Coming back with 10,000 of His angels. 10,000 of His saints to judge the world. Never to step foot on this earth again. But religions are out there teaching of a millennial reign, of Him coming back again. Dear ones, it's not true.
That's true.
And we need to have a fear. Dear ones, I've come to a conclusion. There's no fear of God like there should be. People don't fear God. People would be fearful to just throw things out, like my niece telling the girl, it was one niece talking to another generation niece and saying, "Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." Dear ones, we need to worry about it.
Yes.
We need to worry about it. Are we right with God? Is our name written in heaven?
Yes.
And are we standing for the truth? Do we teach the truth? Do we believe it? Have we settled it in our heart and minds? This was just a simple exercise I went through, but it made me know that God's truth is real. And though men wrestle the Scriptures to their own destruction, you and I must know the truth. Study to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Lord, help us to know. Help us to know.
Amen.
All right, where was I at? 21. Help me now, I've lost my place. Where was I? Oh, here it is. Okay. I want to read on to 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone.
Yes.
Whosoever shall fall on this stone, this Christ Jesus.
Bless the Lord.
The corner. Once was rejected, but now precious in our eyes. If we'll fall upon Him, we'll be broken. But whomsoever it shall fall, it'll grind him to powder. You ever been felt like you've been ground to powder?
Lord.
You know, dear one, God knows what we need.
Yes, He does.
And sometimes He has to let things fall upon us to take us to our knees. Grind on us a little bit so we feel like there's nothing left but just dust.
Lord.
And then now the Lord's got us where He wants us and He can talk to us. It'd be better if we fell on Him first. I was telling the saints here about this knee. This happened there in Ohio, and I had to use a walker to preach. And I used that walker, I think, for 4 days. But I was asking the Lord, "Lord, why? I know that nothing comes my way, but You're trying to get something over me. You're trying to teach me. It's always for me first. Lord, what is it?" And Brother Larry made a statement. The Lord said, "That's it." I don't even think Brother Larry knew what it said. I said, "Thank You, Lord. Well, now I've got it, Lord. I know what You were trying to get to me. And now You can go ahead and You can heal this knee and take this pain away." And He spoke to me and said, "I don't want you to forget it." I said, "Yes, Lord. I don't want to forget it. So You leave it on me just as long as it takes, Lord. Because I want to learn it real, real good." Sometimes He'll grind us. Because of my inability to fall upon Him first and say, "Lord, show me." And then when He tried to show me, I couldn't see it. So He had to grind on me a little bit. But now I can see it and I'm thankful. You know, a spanking is awful good, isn't it? When it's from God. The thing, He loved me enough to come down and give me a whipping. Oh, I'll cry for a while, but then I start rejoicing. To know His love is so real and so good. Oh, thank God. Praise God. All right, I want to read a Revelations. Let's go to Revelations, the first chapter. In the 18th verse. Revelations 1 and 18. Is that what I said? Okay, good. "I am He that liveth and was dead." Mine's in red. This is Jesus speaking. "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And have the keys." Who's got the keys? "And have the keys of hell and of death." Lord, Jesus has still got the keys.
Right. Right.
He gives them to us as we need them.
That's right.
As His workers. But He still controls the keys, dear ones. And I thank God for it. Oh, it's good to know the truth.
Yes.
Because the truth shall set us free. Second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter, and the third to the fifth verse. And let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who's this talking about? Brother Jim says it's the Pope. I believe it's the Pope.
Or that system.
Or any man that exalts himself to the place of God. Let's go on and read this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. What does the Pope call himself? The vice car. The man between God and men. And if you're going to go to God, you must come through Him. Through His teachings. And through His power. May I put it that way? But here it says that He's the son of perdition. Why? Because He's exalted Himself to that place. Who opposes and exalted Himself above all that is called God. Of that is worshipped. So that He, as God, sitteth in the temple of God. They have them big, mighty temples, don't they? Showing Himself that He is God. We're in Austria. And the saints there rented the hall from the Catholic Church. I've learned that the church in... the Catholic Church there in Austria and in Germany is Roman Catholic. But in Russia, it's Greek Orthodox. Still Catholic, but it's Greek Orthodox. There are some differences to their teachings. But anyway, they rented this hall. And they were told that we don't rent this hall to anybody. We don't rent it out. Well, can we rent it? Yeah, you can rent it. Dear ones, that was God opening the way for us to have services and have meetings. Well, between services, we were having lunch, and I noticed a lot of the village people, and that's what they call it, villages, they were coming up, and they were coming to the Catholic Church, but they didn't go into the temple. They come around, and they were coming between the two buildings. And so I got up, and I went over to see what was going on, and there was a man there with a table set up, and he had a computer on it, and people were handing him one-at-a-time money, and he was typing on the computer, and then they'd leave, and then another would come, and there must have been at least 30. It could have been as many as 50 people came. And what is going on? And so that, I knew they had some building projects going on. I thought, well, maybe they're collecting for the building project. But why wouldn't they do that during service? Why would they have a special time on a special day that these people would come? And no service, just come and give their money and leave. So I went and I asked one of the locals. I said, what's going on out there? Oh, he said, they're paying for prayers. I said, they're paying for prayers? He said, yeah. You know, like if you've got somebody in purgatory and you need to pray them out, then you pay money and the saints pray and get you out of purgatory. The Bible says, freely you have received, freely give. How can this happen? I'm thankful that the gospel of Jesus Christ was sent to the poor of this world. When John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus, said, are you the one or do we look for another? And what Jesus say? He said, you go back and you tell John what you've seen. But the one thing that really stood out, he says, you tell John that the poor have the gospel preached to them.
Yes.
This gospel of Jesus Christ, dear ones, is for the poor. Not many rich will be saved. Not many wise. Oh, it's for them too. We have the story of Zacchaeus. He was rich and he gave it all up for God. So anyone can have it. But under the Jewish religion, under the Catholic religion, it's for the rich. Praise God, this is for you and I, dear ones. It's for the poor. First of all, poor in spirit. And poor in pocketbook, that's okay too. We had a call come into my wife and I. Said it was one of the members of our church, and she said my niece and her husband are having some marital problems, and they'd like to have counsel. Would you consider counseling them, my wife and I? Oh yes, yes, we'll counsel them. Well, they want to know how much it costs. Oh, I said, sister, cost? There's no cost. God has given us something and we're to give it out.
That's right.
You tell them to come at their convenience and there'll be no cost.
Yes. Brother Brian, I'm going to read you a scripture.
All right. Have,
please. 55 and 1. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water.
Yes.
And he that hath no money, come ye.
All right.
Yes. Yea, come by wine and milk without money and without price.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, this is a good gospel.
Yes, it is.
Oh, praise God for this gospel.
Amen.
You know, He came down to our level, didn't He?
Yes, He did.
And He comes down to our level every day. Meets with us. Praise God. Well, I want to talk about the hogwash. That man saying that there's people out there that preach that once you're saved and sanctified, you don't sin anymore. That's hogwash. Well, it ain't hogwash to me. That's the truth of God's Word. And I'm listening once again. Go, give me some scriptures. But he had no scriptures. So, that night in my motel room, I went to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John. The 3rd chapter, and I want to begin at the 4th verse. It says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sin." He didn't leave us sin, and He came to take. Jesus came to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He was manifested to take away our sins.
Yes.
He didn't leave them with us. Oh. "Whosoever abides in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him." How far off could this man get from this scripture? You're saying you continue to sin and you've never seen Him. You haven't known Him, and that's why you preach this false doctrine, because you don't know what it means to live free from sin.
That's right.
Dear ones, there's too many religions out there that are based on worldly understanding and intellect and not on the leadings and teachings of the Holy Ghost.
That's
so.
"Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you.
Yes.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even that he is righteous.
Yes.
He that committeth sin is of the devil."
Lord.
It just told me that that man teaching that, that minister, that had a radio program that he taught thousands, maybe millions, was of the devil.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we're so politically correct, religiously correct, that we just don't want to declare the truth. We're afraid to say, that's sin. That's sin. That's sin. I had a German brother there when we were teaching there in Austria. This young couple came from Germany. He was a young pastor. I think he was about 34. She was about 28. And after I'd preached, they always had questions. And said, "Brother Rich, I want to talk to you. I got a scenario I want to present you. I want your input on it." Okay. He said, "This is not my congregation, but another congregation. There's a 20-year-old woman. Said she got married and her husband stayed with her for just a short time and left her. Now here she is, 20 years old and no husband. Destined to be single maybe for the rest of her life. Here's what the pastor told her. Go find a husband. Have children. I'd rather you choose the lesser of two evils than go out there and be with a lot of men and be discouraged and lose out. I'd rather you continue to come to church, get married, have children. You'll be okay. Choose the lesser of two evils. Brother Rich, what do you think of that? I said, that brother just condemned that woman's soul to hell. The Bible says, no adulterer shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It makes no excuses. I said, her blood and her soul is going to be on his hands. Apparently he doesn't realize that. Apparently he doesn't fear God. He surely doesn't trust God. Does God got grace for a 20-year-old woman to live her life for him if unmarried?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Later on down the line, he can remove that man if he sees he's not going to be saved. I don't know the answers, but I know God. And I know God has got power and he's got grace for you and I to live this life. For this 20-year-old woman, he's got all she needs to make heaven if she'll but believe and trust in him. But her pastor doesn't have any trust.
Lord.
No power. No Holy Ghost leadership. Yet he's sitting in a place, exalted, into a place where he's going to direct and give counsel. God told me, and God didn't tell him.
The Lord.
Because it's contrary to the Word of God.
That's so. That's
right. May the Lord help us. Dear ones, can we be bold enough to call sin, sin? Can we say, this is not of God? As I told my niece, it wasn't familiar. I didn't know why she was going to take it. I said, that's a lie. A lie. That's a lie.
Yes.
It'll condemn your soul to hell if you believe that.
Yes.
But the Bible says, this is what the Bible says.
Yes.
This is what I believe. And I found it to be true because God saved my soul and He gave me a life of joy and peace. And then He gave me the gift of the Holy Ghost. And now He's teaching me and leading me along. God has got power to seal us, dear ones. He can keep. We didn't save ourselves. God saved us. We can't keep ourselves saved. God keeps us saved. And He can keep us saved until He calls us home. I don't care what your age is. And a 20-year-old woman, if she might have to live single, God has got grace for her. Maybe you'll call her to the ministry. Call her to be an evangelist and send her all over the world preaching the truth and preaching it straight. Not a watered-down truth. Can we trust God? Can we really trust Him? Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord.
All right, the fourth man. A wife ought to obey her husband in all things. That's Bible. Yeah. Once again, it was talking to the saints. A saint man is not going to have his wife do anything unholy or ungodly. So a woman can yield herself to a man that's righteous and holy.
Yes.
I got a question for you husbands. Concerning your wives, what is your main responsibility towards your wife? Your number one and main responsibility towards your wife. What is it?
Protect and serve.
Huh?
Protect and serve.
Protect her? Okay.
Spiritual leader.
Okay. That's part of it.
To love her?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But what I'm going to say to you now takes in love and it takes in protection. You do everything within your power to make sure your wife makes heaven. You don't hinder her in any way, but you be an encouragement and a blessing and make sure she has all the tools she needs to make heaven. You can't make it to church because you got to work. You make sure she has a way. And you make sure your children have a way. That's your first responsibility towards your wife. Wife? Wives, what's your responsibility towards your husbands? The answer's pretty easy now, isn't it? It's to make sure your husband makes heaven.
That's right.
Do all you can to make sure your husband makes heaven. You see, it takes in love, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it takes in protection. And it takes care of all those things about providing for your own and being there and being loving and compassionate. And it takes it all. Make sure. You've done all you can do. That heaven can be theirs. Lord, help us. Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Praise the Lord.
Matthew, the fourth chapter and the seventh verse. And Jesus said unto him, there's Jesus talking to the devil. Now I want to stop for just a moment here, and this is what got me really to thinking that I needed to look these scriptures up. When Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and he was a hungry, the devil came to tempt him, didn't he?
That's right.
How did Jesus defeat him?
With the Word.
With the Word of God.
And he knew it accurately.
He knew it accurately. That's you pray right. For me. I get it sometimes jumbled around a little bit. Lord, help us. We need to know the Word of God.
Yes.
But when the devil, the adversary of our soul, comes to tempt us, we can come back with Scripture saying, you know, we heard in this meeting, you don't be talking to the devil. That's good advice. But dear ones, you're going to find yourself in a place where you're going to have to defend yourself and you're going to have to talk to the devil. I've been laying awake at night in pain saying, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. And I'm praising God to thank God. Sometimes you're just going to have the Word of God to set the devil to flight. Jesus proved it here three places. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Every one of our trials is going to come to us under one of these three headings. If we know the scriptures that Jesus used, and maybe some besides, we can defeat the devil. And this is what he said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Now that's the fourth. Now I want to go to the fifth, to the seventh. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the third one, he said the tenth verse, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Right.
Talking about a woman being obedient to her husband, when he would have her to do something ungodly against the Word of God, it says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. To put yourself in a place that God has got to deliver you, knowing that that's the devil's territory in your soul, and maybe your physical being is in danger, dear ones, don't go there.
That's right.
There's a time and place where a wife can say, no, husband, I must obey God rather than man.
Yep, Lord.
I had a girl talk about, well, God gives no excuse for a woman to leave her husband. Okay. No matter what. Does a woman stay with a man that's abusive? Maybe beating the children to a point where he could hurt them physically, maybe even kill them. All you have to do is read the newspaper and see every day where a mother or a father has beat their children to death or drowned them out in a lake or all these things. Where will God take us? Well, God will show us. God will show us. But there's wisdom. And there's understanding of God. But we don't tempt the Lord that God. We don't put ourselves or our children in places that that we're going to have to tempt God to come into. Lord, give us. He's given us wisdom to understand.
Yeah.
To understand and to know where we should stand on these things. Lord, help us to stand for what's right and what's true.
Amen.
All right. Voting. Voting. Once again, Brother Rich is not teaching not to vote. I'll leave that to every man. But when men come on the radio and say that it's a Christian's duty and he must vote, then I want to know the scriptures. So let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And begin at the first verse. I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And then it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I can't find anywhere in the Word of God it says saints vote. But I can see where it says to pray.
Yes.
We are commanded to pray.
Yes.
First and foremost. Yes. For the leaders of our land.
Yes.
For those in authority. And why? So that we can live a peaceful and quiet life.
Yes.
Because in that we can worship God without fear. And that's a wonderful place to be. I'm glad I'm born here. I'm glad I'm an American. And I'm glad you are too.
Yes.
We're probably the only country that puts a fence up to keep people out. The other nations like Russia put fences up to keep people in. Why? Because the way they treat their people.
Oh Lord.
I'm thankful to be here. But to tell me I must vote, dear ones, the Bible doesn't say that. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and the 4th verse, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Would you say voting is a temporal affair? Would you say that that's of the world? I don't think there's going to be any voting in heaven. The Bible says when the apostles asked Jesus, said, "Teach us to pray." He said, "Pray this way. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
As it is.
Just as it is in heaven, He wants it to be here on earth, dear ones. That's the way we should be praying. I got a question. Segregation. Is there going to be segregation in heaven? Then there oughtn't be any here either.
We'll talk to Brother Peter about that.
I remember the song, "Who Will Suffer with the Savior?" Mm-hmm. You hear the history on that. D.S. Warren, they had a rope down the center of the chapel, and the black sat on one side and the white sat on. What did they do with the browns? Mm-hmm. And the reds and the yellows?
Be careful, brother.
Well, see, I'm a mixture. So
you the only one? Come on, man. Preach the truth.
Well, where did I get to sit? Maybe I had to stay outside and look through the windows.
We
I don't
all
know.
Mixed up anyway.
That's right.
But D.S. Warner got up with a rope or a pair of scissors, and he got up with a knife or a pair of scissors, and he went to that rope and he cut it. He said, "There's no division in the church of God." Amen. Well, a mob was waiting for him, and he went out there and they beat him bad. And on his bed of affliction, he wrote, "Who will suffer for the Savior?
My Lord and my God."
Lord, help us.
That's right.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Dear ones, if we're not careful, we'll get ourselves entangled. You know, they say there's two things you're never supposed to talk about. One is religion. Well, I can't do that one. Because that's what I love to talk about. And the other one is politics. I can do that one. I can leave that. I've seen people get so worked up, dear ones. I've been guilty of getting worked up.
Help us, Lord.
I don't want to get worked up over temporal things.
Amen.
He that is called to be a soldier. Dear ones, are you a soldier in the army of the living God?
Yes.
All of us are ministering spirits, aren't we? Aren't we ministering spirits, every one of us? Well, this saying goes back to the Roman army. You see, when a man was called to the Roman army, he wasn't allowed to do anything from that point on other than serve the emperor and serve the army. If he wasn't married, he couldn't get married. He had a little extra time. He couldn't take on a side job. All he could do was be a soldier in every day, in every moment, while his duty and his time in office, however long that was, that's all he did was a soldier. And he did nothing else. Dear ones, what about us? What about us? Now we're not talking, that was physical, we're talking spiritual. Are we really soldiers and nothing else? Do we keep the world out or do we get ourselves entangled? Lord, help us. Lord, help us to not get entangled with the affairs of this life. Let's go to Matthew. In Matthew, the 8th chapter. And the 22nd verse. But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead." Who's the dead? All those that are not saved, that walk this earth, are the dead. But you and I have been quickened. Spiritually, we've been brought back to life and become the sons and daughters of the living God.
Yes.
It says here, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Dear ones, there's some things that we just need to leave to the world. And let the world take care of themselves. I can't get myself involved in this. I'll lose my peace.
Yep, Lord.
And then I'll lose my peace, I'll lose my victory. And Lord, it's too valuable. I can't afford that. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I thank God. I thank God for the truth. I thank God for what He's given us. And I thank God I can go to this Bible and I can find all I need to find and all I need to know. It's right here. And when the Spirit begins to deal and lead me, I can go here and I can find the principles. It's all in the Word of God. Oh, this is rich. And oh, this is so good. Isn't it good to be free?
Yes.
Thank God I'm free. Thank God for the truth. You pray for me.
Amen.